Welcome to the Cult Film Showdowns special series on The Hitchhiker, the mid-1980s TV show that ran on HBO and had more adult stories and boobies. The episode we're talking about today is Face to Face, and I am joined by Nick Boxer.
I like boobies.
Everyone does.
I don't know what else to say. We picked a show with Sybil Danning. Like, I like Robert Vaughn too, but
Robert Vaughn's awesome.
You know, if you're asking me to pick one out of the pick him out in the line, but lineup, I'm going with the boobies.
That'd be the weirdest police lineup. Okay, we got Robert. Now, did your attacker look like Robert Vaughn or Sybil Danning? Well, I do like boobs, so I'm going to go put Robert Vaughn in jail.
I'm pitching boobies, all of a lineup of just boobies, one of them being Sybil Danning's, and you having to pick them out. Mm. I bet you could.
I think so, yeah.
I might have to study for that task. In fact, I think I will.
I think I have flashcards already made. All right.
I'm here too.
Oh, and Jack Hall. Jack Hall. You jumped in. I was just going with he needs no introduction, so don't do one.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate that.
All right, Face to Face. IMDb lists this as season 2, episode 3. Jack, what else do you see around?
Episode 2, or season 2, episode 6, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Episode 6. Yeah, it's all messed up.
You pretty much got to search for these by name on IMDb. I did make an IMDb list, though. It's linked off of in the show notes. All of the episodes we'll be covering in the order we're covering them. So go onto our Facebook page, also in the show notes on wetalkpodcast.com. There's a link that has all 10 episodes. You can watch them on YouTube.
Excellent.
I'll do a double check to make sure that I've got the ones that are that aren't edited down, now that we found out last week that there are edited down ones.
You don't want to watch edited versions ever.
Not this one.
Syndication? No.
Maybe
if you're really in a time crunch.
No, even then you find time for the boobies. Listen, that's the thing. That's a saying that I've stuck with my whole life, and I'm not going back on it. You find time for the boobies. Now that's the thing, that this is, we come off of Saturday morning cartoons, and we said to ourselves, we want something with a more mature content, aka boobies.
Yeah.
And this particular episode is the exact reason why we decided to go with boobies. Like, that's really the highlight of this episode. It's not the best episode.
You know, that might have been Robert Vaughn's pitch, or the pitch they gave Robert Vaughn to get him in this episode. Okay, you play a character that does drugs, and you get to make out with several women in this. I'm in. Like,
that would get me to... That's how you cast me as well for a movie. Like, that's, I say yes. You don't even have to go through my agent.
I thought Jack was going to say there are the high points, which I think would have been.
That might have been more accurate, right? You're right. The headlights. It's the headlights of the episode.
Nick, tell us what the heck happened on this.
Okay, Robert Vaughn plays a plastic surgeon in the top of his field. He gets a patient that is going through some sort of gender reassignment surgery. But it's not like that. I was kind of scared we were going to get canceled in the first 5 minutes. And then I realized, wait a minute, they're not going to touch any of that. Robert Vaughn is parting away. He's doing cocaine. He's sleeping with Sybil Danning. He's sleeping with another very attractive doctor. He's traveling around. He's driving fast cars. He's having fun. But when the surgery comes up on this particular patient, who coincidentally is also a makeup artist, he comes in way hungover, or at least wearing a lot of makeup hangover style. And he screws up the surgery. Well, the next day, as he's leaving for Paris, because he's too chicken shit to face her after screwing up the surgery, or because he just doesn't care, a stalker corners him in the airport, rips off her face, and slashes up his face. Not a lot goes on, but there is some damn fine nudity.
Have we mentioned yet the nudity in this episode? Have we, brought that up for people to know why they may want to watch?
I think it's hilarious that Nick's description basically ignores the main plot of the story.
But he's being irresponsible. That's the entirety of the story.
So it kind of slowly teases out that he's like the master of plastic surgery, and he's been asked to do a facial reconstruction for someone who's done gender reassignment surgery already, but still has facial features that are very manly. And it doesn't go well. There's a lot happening in this.
There is a lot happening in this. And the woman who he's doing performing the surgery on, there's a very intense scene. It is actually probably the other highlight, because this is, you have to keep in mind, the early 80s, when gender reassignment surgery was quite rare. And there's a scene where she talks about growing up, a woman in a man's body, mm-hmm. and how she's known since she was 6 years old, and how her life was hell, and how she lost all her friends and her family because of her decision. And it's really well done. And uh-huh. it really hits home more today than I think it would have then. That's if you're looking for a highlight as far as acting and performing and just kind of being ahead of the game, that scene is definitely it.
It's a really great performance, and in heavy makeup. The actress who did that role is Sonia Smits, who this is only her fourth episode of The Hitchhiker, it's the second one she's in. Sonia Smits, Canadian actress, very successful in Canada, but also had been in the Franco Nero episode a couple back. Really amazing performance, and impressive to do that without ever showing her real face. Like, she's quite a lovely woman, and she's in full makeup the entire episode. What's the first thing you think of with Robert Vaughn? What's the first project? he was such a good slimy businessman.
Zombie 5, Dead Birds.
Nice. I love that.
Robert Vaughn is one of those weird actors that could cross over into mainstream A movies and A television, and then flip over to the, C, D, not even B, like worse.
A lot of ups and downs in that career. Yeah, it's a 60 year career. Started in the 1950s and to his death in 2016. Like you said, such a wide variety of roles. Man from U.N.C.L.E., of course, being the most famous. Superman 3, most famous to our audience.
I for me, the first movie I think of is Magnificent Seven. Just because I've seen that like 40 times, and I love that movie. You know, and everybody's great in that movie, including him. But yeah, I mean, it's a wild career that he could take a B movie and then do an A movie, and then do an A movie, and then do a B movie. Like, it wasn't necessarily, you know, like he versatile isn't the right word. Just like he had no, like when you talk about 60-year career and you talk about how many different roles he did, was he of the Michael Caine, oh, well, I haven't visited that country yet and they're paying me, so I might as well go? Like, was that, do you think that was his theory?
I think it's such, there's an interesting mix of things. Like he went through, like, especially in the 90s, he went through this comedy phase where he did but he was going back and forth between kind of more serious roles and then things like Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang, yes.
Pootie Tang. And he did a couple of the Magnificent Seven reboots along the way as different characters.
The spoilers, he dies, so he has to be a different character.
He did basketball. I'm looking at it.
That's
now.
Right, basketball. Right. Yes.
Basketball. Well, Pootie Tang has,
you know, have one of those faces where if you need a drunk rich guy,
he was perfect. Do you know what his character name was in Pootie Tang? What
was that?
Dick Lecker.
Nice.
Lecker. Dick Lecker.
Dick Lecker. Nice. Dick Lecker.
No wonder he was a bad guy in that one. Man, I'd grow up a little bitter too if I was a Dick Lecker.
See, that's like the name of one of the love interests in the gay James Bond. Like that's that's a very Pussy Galore kind of name.
Pussy Galore kind of name. He was in Joe's Apartment.
No way.
Yeah.
That thing's both amazing and terrible at the exact same time.
Exactly. Oh, bless the man. Yeah, no, I mean, if nothing else, even though he's not working with a lot, I mean, his character is pretty shallow in this face-to-face episode. He's, you know, he's a plastic surgeon with a God complex.
Yeah.
And he is, he's more concerned about working on Hollywood stars and making, money and that type of thing than he is about helping somebody who really needs help.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a point where this intern, not intern, what do you call that when a doctor is a
resident?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Resident.
Resident.
Yes, the resident, this young resident comes up and says to him, you know, I'm more interested in working on people with third degree burns and that type of thing. And he says something along the lines of, if you want to be a hero, join the Peace Corps. You know, like he's
and
just
then walks into his awful person. Fabulous office.
Pardon me?
That office he had was fabulous.
Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The only office in any movie I've ever seen that was nicer was in one of those prison movies we watched with a hot tub and stuff. But his office had a bed and I'm sure multiple cocaine stashes all over the place and fur-lined stuff all over the place. I mean, it was a sex pad office. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the guy was... he was a scumbag. But all that said, he deserved what he gets. I mean, you talked about how, you know, the Sanjay Smith character, and I'm hoping everybody's watched this ahead of time this time, because we were certainly not holding off on the spoilers. How she was a makeup artist who tricks him and rips off her face and slashes him up at the end. And I'm going, okay, that's justice. Except for her character was told ahead of time there's a 90 cent per, 10% chance of success, which means there's a 10% chance there isn't. She doesn't know that he showed up high and hungover and with little sleep. Like all she knows is I'm one of the 10%. That sucks. And then she goes and gets revenge on him. She doesn't really have the motive. Like she's not exactly a hero, put it that way.
The ending the ending gets messy, very messy.
Well, I mean, even just time wise, because she takes off the bandages, mm-hmm. yeah. and he can't be there because he's preparing to go to Paris.
Oh,
and
wow.
that's right. Meet yeah. him at the airport, and like, that's a quick discharge when yeah. things are gone wrong.
She puts everything together. That's a together,
quick, wonderful makeup she did on too. Like that wouldn't take a while.
Once she's leading him off where no one else is, I'm like, okay, well, I see what's happening. She was a makeup artist. And then I'm like, well, I don't know how do you pull off makeup though? I'm like, well, she's not a makeup artist. This is like she's made her own fake resin, like fake latex face and not using makeup skills at all. She's just made a mask.
It's not a makeup artist, it's a special effect artist. And the other thing is, if you could do that, why don't you just put that on all the time anyways? Why even bother with the sister? Because the woman that played her with the mask on was pretty much perfect face, you know?
Yeah, what actress was that?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
There's only a couple of women in it. So I think, Dr. Ensman was the one who comes into his office. So Tess must be who it is. Process of elimination here. And yeah. Very lovely woman that was on Falcon Crest, among a lot of other TV stuff in the 80s. Not enough that she's got a photo on IMDb. That's a giveaway.
Which is too bad. She deserves a photo with that face.
Yeah, lovely woman.
Lovely woman.
In fact, I
was kind of going back and forth to myself, going, "Who is the hottest woman in this cast?" Like, Sybil Danny's in it, and yet it's not a slam dunk that she's the hottest woman.
It isn't. That's, no.
That's pretty impressive.
I love how they set up Sybil Danning's character that. She's like some ridiculously famous starlet who it's implied should look older than Sybil Danning. She just walks away when she's asked, like, so are you a patient? Are you a client kind of thing? No, she's just Sybil Danning.
Yeah, there's a weird moment with the resident when he first meets her and he says, I've seen all your movies, even the early ones. And then he corrects himself by going, ooh, I don't mean like that sound. And I'm like, how did that sound? Like,
I think it was implied that her early movies were
better movies with
a lot of nudity, and now she's a mainstream actress. That was the only thing I could get out of it. I thought that was weird, too.
Well, I assume that what he meant is like the early movies that you wouldn't expect him to have seen because he was too young. Because he said even the early ones. So that was my take. I like yours, Jack, better. But my take was that she's had a lengthy career. He's seen even the early things she did, implying that this was like 20 or 30 years ago or the things that he's even seen those. But I all of these work. All of these theories work. So
they all work. Yeah,
she doesn't answer anything. So it's what you want it to mean. Because he doesn't say anything about having like done work on her or anything.
All she says is, "So you've seen all my movies, huh?"
Yeah, like. And he's yeah. Yeah, I like your read better. Yeah, that line leans toward the other toward your direction, Jack. I like that.
Yeah.
You mentioned that Robert Vaughn has a god complex. In the narration of this, he actually doesn't have a God complex. He talks about how God's kind of a chump. I'm improving on God's work because I can do better, is one of the lines.
That is true. That is true.
He is like so beyond.
So in two episodes, so we have aborted God and called God names.
Well, God's trying. That's basically what Robert Vaughn says. He's
well, doing, God is he's limited doing by best. The fact he's yeah. limited by a lot of things. He's limited. He's only God.
Yeah.
He can only do so much. You know, he's limited. He has a rest on the seventh day, for yeah. instance, you know. He's limited. Robert Vaughn doesn't have those limitations.
Mm-hmm. If God is too high, he does not show up that day. Robert Vaughn goes in and does the work.
Goes in and does the work regardless. This is it's an interesting one of the things that got me was every time they had a sex scene, they went to this weird porno saxophone music. Like, usually the music in the series is awesome. The main theme is fantastic, The Hitchhiker. And most of the previous episodes we've done, I thought the music was all terrific. But in this one, it was just like this odd, like every time there was something sexy happening, this saxophone came in, and I was just like it felt like it was just ripped from some porno, like not a 70s porno, but an 80s porno. Because 70s porno, of course, is cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. But, you know, this is like an 80s porno. Saxophone music.
That love scene he has with Sybil Danning is the least attractive scene she's ever been in. He's just, like, he's looks like he's, like, a high school kid trying to, like, just... trying to kiss all of her face at the same time.
Oh yeah.
there's a point where he's kissing her chest and just like his hands on her face, kind of pushing it. I don't like it. It was just the weirdest scene. In my notes, I wrote Sybil Danning is magical, and then Sybil Danning and Robert Vaughn is awkward.
No, so Robert Vaughn. I'm not sure how many wives he had, but I feel sorry for them. One of the things that's interesting about this is we talked about the previous episode, W God, that we did. And this story is by the same, I guess you would call him novelist, is written, but the story is it's adapted by a different person. But it is also that Richard Rothstein. So this kind of very different stories, I think. Neither one of them terribly original, but one executed much better than the other.
Yeah, I think overall this is a strong episode. I think the ending is a bit clunky.
I think it's a little slow. I think it's a little slow most of the episode.
Mm.
Pace-wise.
Yeah, well, and then it rushes at the end. Like it's...
Yeah.
Like you do end up... Like as Nick was saying, the timeline makes no sense as you get close to the end of this.
I never even thought about that. It's total yeah. boogaloo.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was thinking that at the time of like... Because if the time I made so little sense that I didn't think it was her. Like story wise, of course, it makes perfect sense for it to be Nina, his patient. But because he's at the airport right now, and then we see him at the airport, and there's this woman. I'm like, is it her sister? Did she mention a sister? did she mention a friend that she had? Like, what's happening in this scene? Like, is this like her sister and she's gonna lead her somewhere where like, you know, her sister where Nina gets revenge? Like, so yeah, it goes a bit weird, but
the other great scene besides the transgender scene, the scene where she's talking to him about wanting to get her face done. Mm-hmm. Talking to Robert Vaughn, Sonya Smith's, and And he says something along the lines of, well, we're both kind of in the same field because we both work on faces because she's a makeup artist. And he gives her the look like, you are so far below me. You are so...
Yeah, how dare you even apply that makeup line that best makeup is no makeup at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's which actually back. Comes back at the end, which didn't make any sense whatsoever.
Because you get to the end, you're like, I'm pretty sure the best makeup is that makeup that you've got right now.
The best makeup I've ever seen.
That's like the old gag, laughter's the best medicine, except for medicine.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's, yeah, something. It's something. It's something.
Yeah, it's a thing. You know, bravo that we didn't focus too much of this episode on Sybil Danning being topless. I mean, we mentioned it in passing, but I think you should go watch the episode.
And the young doctor.
And the young doctor as well. Before we recorded this, we were chatting and realized that Nick had watched a shorter edited version, and we delayed recording this episode so he could go back and watch those scenes because they are so integral to the plot.
Oh, yeah.
And more my specific. Hands are furrier for it.
Do not look for the episode that's 28 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll recheck and make sure that that's the one that I've put on the playlist to make sure that everyone's getting the most bang for their buck. All right. This was Face to Face. Our fourth episode looking at The Hitchhiker. We're going to do 10 of these. You can check in the show notes. There is a link to the IMDb pages for all of these, as well as a YouTube link that takes you to a playlist that has all 10 in the order we're going to be doing them, so you can listen along. And you can find us on Patreon as the Cult Film Showdown. You can find us on Instagram as the Cult Film Showdown. And we're sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com, the home of the Octagon. You can find them on Facebook and on Twitter. And like and subscribe on YouTube. We're starting to get some good interaction going on YouTube, and people are digging back through the archive of the Cult Film Showdown. So really enjoying what's happening there.
Discourse. The discourse.
Oh, nice. That's excellent.
You're welcome. Yeah,
good work there. Next up for us will be, according to IMDb's numbering, season 3, episode 12, Man of Her Dreams.
Who picked it?
I believe this was Nick's.
I don't think so. Old, then.
No, it wasn't. Man of Her Dreams was one of Jack's, actually.
Okay. I can't remember at all what I picked. So.
That's all right. And maybe we'll find out why you picked this one too.
What episode what?
312. Season 3, episode 12, Man of Her Dreams.
Man of Her Dreams. So it'd be 15 on this.
Yeah, right. Must have been a writer or director that you picked it for.
Yeah.
There's no.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. But no idea. I'll look it up before the next episode and we'll go from there.
And maybe look up to make sure it's the one you picked and that I didn't write something else down.
There is that possibility. Man of Her Dreams, I can see right now. It's definitely. Bruce Jones, comic book writer, most famous for writing Incredible Hulk and teleplay by Gary Ross of Hunger Games, Seabiscuit,
that's
Pleasantville fame.
All coming back.
Jennifer for Masters of Horror as well.
Oh yeah, that's right. That story was great. That's one of the really, that was one of the ones that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
All right. We will talk to you next time on the Cult Film Showdown.